the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome, everybody, on All Saints Sunday. So, a number of years ago, we were having a baptism, very much like this morning, for multiple families, baptizing three kids. And this font normally lives in narthex, right to the right of the door as you walk in. And it's amazing how it's been there since 1948, and most people don't notice it because it's kind of tucked back in the corner. But the best we can tell is that this came from the very first St. Peter's Church. We're in the third one right now. So this is about 151 years old. We found a way to put it on wheels, believe it or not, and we wheel it on up here when we have baptisms. But it's always amazing to me. It's kind of a holy thought. It's meant to think about 151 years worth of people being baptized here. On Thursday night on Halloween, I was showing my kids the extended version of the Thriller video. Remember Michael Jackson? And it was amazing they were watching and were terrified as the zombies were coming out of the ground. You know, in Thriller, one of the key people in that video is Vincent Price. He was baptized in this font in 1911. I was able to put that on Facebook later. And I was telling my kids, hey, that really creepy voice, he went to St. Peter's. After I was brought here, so who knows what that means for your three kids. They could be in a music video. But when I was a kid, we would go to visit my grandparents in Brookhaven, Mississippi. And to this day, I'm convinced that there is no more boring place on earth than Brookhaven, Mississippi. We would go, and there was nothing to do. We would sit, and my grandmother would tell us when we were really bored, we should start twiddling our thumbs. And I would say, well, what happens when I get bored doing that? She would say, reverse. And as I was sitting in her house, twiddling my thumbs, I would look around the walls, and my grandmother loved cross-stitching. And on one of the walls, she had cross-stitched the entire Beatitudes, right? So everything that we just read in the Gospel of Luke. Although I'm convinced that she left the second part out. Or maybe she used Matthew's version. For Matthew's version, it's entirely positive, this list of blessings. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who are persecuted. There's this series of continuation of blessings. But Luke offers us a collection of mixed blessings, doesn't he? He begins, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who are persecuted. But then he goes on to say, but woe to those who are full, and woe to those who are rich, and woe to those whose bellies are full, and woe to you when everybody says nice things about you, because basically, you've already had your reward. But then, Jesus in Luke's gospel really doubles down, doesn't he? Jesus in Luke's gospel continues. He says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Give to anyone who begs for you. And then to cap it all off, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Sometimes you feel like Jesus just asks for too much. That is too hard. That is more than I can. But most scholars think that this is the absolute essence of Jesus' teaching. Now, through the Bible, or through Christian history, there have been different ways of interpreting the Bible. For a long time, there were some groups of Christians that interpreted the Bible through this concept called literary inspiration, which essentially says that every verse of the Bible is equal in its importance. Every verse of the Bible was inspired by God, so every verse is equal. The problem I have with that is that takes something like the Beatitudes and puts it on equal footing as Leviticus 25, which says, don't eat shellfish, or wear polyester, or eat cheeseburgers, which I'm sorry, that's a bridge too far for me. verses in the Bible that create a lens of sorts that help us understand not just the rest of the Bible, but our whole lives. So a lot of you notice that I'm wearing glasses. I have a nearsight. I went to the doctor for my annual physical this week and learned that my vision is getting much, much worse. All right, so if I take my glasses off, all of you in the back of the room are blurry. I will admit, sometimes this makes preaching a little less daunting when I just see blobs of people instead of my friends and people that I know really well to whom I'm a little more accountable. But if I take my glasses off, nothing changes, right? You're all still there. The reality of this room is exactly as it is when I have them on. But the difference is that I just can't see you clearly. You're blurred. Everything in front of me, from about here past, is blurry. But when I put these on, I see you clearly. The Beatitudes is like that lens through which we see the world. Without this idea of loving your enemies, praying for those who harm you, praying for those who annoy you, loving those that are a challenge, that's the lens through which we have to see everything in the Bible. Because what that talks about is Jesus opening our eyes, giving us a lens of generous forgiveness, a generosity of forgiveness. Because most of the time, we don't want that. Unless we're talking about ourselves, we want to be generous and forgiving us. But sometimes it's hard to live. It's too much to ask, because it's too much to do. Think about all of our movies. I think the highest grossing movie of 2019 is The Avengers, right? Just the name, Avenging. We don't want to get mad, we want to get even, right? That's what we want. We want to get even because it feels good. We want to be fair. Jesus tells us it's not about getting even. Jesus tells us life isn't even about being fair. Life is about being so unfair that you are generous in your forgiveness and in your love for God. That is the lens through which Jesus wants us to read the Bible. That's the lens through which Jesus wants us to pray. That's the lens through which Jesus wants us to see the world and to live. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I might even say, do unto others as you hope God does unto you. None of us want God to be fair with us, I don't think. I do not want God to be fair with me. I want God to be really unfair with me and forgive me for all the stuff that I mess up every day. I want God to be generous in God's forgiveness. God wants us to be generous in our forgiveness. God wants us to be generous in our love. When we baptize these children, here in this child, we've been baptizing children for 151 years. We're giving them the lens that God wants us all to.